We have been compelled to crash land the reconnaissance flycraft in response to a gravitational imposition from an unknown source of concentrated energy. Almost half of the crew have been killed on impact. Others perished in a fire arising from a combustible fuel leak reacting with exposed live circuitry from the auxiliary life support systems triggered as a result of the crash. We have been forced to wander aimlessly through the dense forests and tenebrous wetlands of the low-lying subtropical zones below the southern massifs. Our priority at this juncture is find food and shelter for the oncoming night, neither of which are so far forthcoming. The world around us is rich with dripping wet foliage, and meandering waterways pouring endlessly from the adjacent mountainous heights. There are no birds of which to speak, nor insects or mammals, nor anything of a reptilian disposition that presents itself as an edible resource. There have been sightings, however, of compact or sprawling shadows in the trees that indicate movements of some indistinct but sizable organism, described variously by members as slender, multifaceted, betentacled, wraith-like, and sometimes bulky. I can only imagine that these are the sinister inhabitants of Centauri Proxima B, referred to by my father, Dr. Hector McCrae, in his own transmissions. The strange, shape-shifting entities known as the Carithra. To this extent, our situation has become increasingly desperate. If you are able to locate us using the tracking system for the detection of residual ectoplasmic emissions emerging from these signature thought casts, then I ask you, in all urgency, to please send help as quickly as you can.
Tenebrous Wetlands, music from Ruptured World and the album Xenoplanetary. It begins this 1548th broadcast of Ultima Thule, ambient and atmospheric music from across the ages and around the world, with me, George Cruikshank. We're coming to you from Sydney, Australia, and the studios of Ultima Thule Ambient Media. In Sydney, we're heard on 2MBS, Fine Music Sydney. in Canberra on ArtSound FM 92.7, and in Adelaide on 5MBS 99.9. You're also hearing us on stations of the Community Radio Network right across Australia. In North America, we're on WYTX 98.5 in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and on other stations of the PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Our program this evening is made up of some recent releases on Swedish label Cryo Chamber. Continuing now, the music of Dead Melodies. This is the album Merkin Hollow.
Thank you.
The Corypheryn are now stalking us as the dusk falls on, and the gloom intensifies under the canopy of trees, making us more vulnerable to their nocturnal onslaughts and the consummate penetrating sweep of their superior night vision. We are being systematically reduced to bespattered middens of mangled body parts, plucked from the darkness like a selection of meats from a basket of expensive trifles. Some members of the team have been decapitated, perforated, or slashed by sudden projections of sticky appendages with barbed ridges, razor-edged hooks, and serrated skin flaps that may have been mouths. Others have been wrapped in pulsating masses of acidic protoplasms, melted into puddles of pulverized body matter, while others still have been fatally gored by unseen projectors. Propelled through the cruel darkness, they have been... And then, almost with a sense of unalterable calm, there came a moment when I realized that I was utterly alone as I stumbled through the coppices of the alien environment that was destined to consume me. My companions had been killed or had strayed in a different direction from me, and I must face my misadventures alone, with only my dismayed thoughts left me. Thoughts will come to me. in consideration of the data received by Professor Yanis Taknassis of the original mission for colonial expansion, I have made the conjecture that our reconnaissance flycraft was drawn to the planet's surface by the collective telepathic coercions of the native triangulum of the Kerberan host. The native triangulum is the name that we have attributed to the strange luminescent triangular megastructures that are strategically distributed on the most prominent summits of the exoplanet's terrain. We believe them to be the focal points or conduits of the combined existential mind projections of Kerberan psychics engaged in large-scale telekinetic energy transmissions, deployed perhaps as the mechanisms for the effectuation of extraordinary or difficult tasks. The triangulum, we believe, is a network of beacons that act, as it were, as psychic lightning rods, designed to attract and conduct the innate forces of thought transference through psychomagnetic nodal fields. They are directed as physical inertia, which in turn exerts an irresistible gravitational influence over movable objects or counterforces that fall within the range of its aggregated particle tensions. I was pondering these considerations, cast adrift in my exhaustion like a piece of space junk, when I was suddenly imbued with a high degree of mental clarity. It was as if I'd received an electrical stimulus that brought me back to my senses with an odd and somewhat pleasing rush of additional psychological verve. I realized immediately that I had strayed much deeper into the low-lying wetlands, which were now sloping downwards into a sunken valley of acute and imperceptible profundity. I realized again, and with some surprise, that I could actually see where I was going, and that the darkness had somehow dissipated from my immediate vicinity. I became aware in that instant that I had been enveloped in a strange globule of illumination that was guiding me down the steepening slopes, through the solid gloom, and deeper into the underglens below. I stared at the membrane of static brightness, at first believing myself to have entered into an hallucinogenic state of post-traumatic disassociation. But the reality of what lay before me, the palpable feel of my feet upon stone, brought me to a heightened state of awareness that brought with it, in turn, a reinforced appreciation of my current circumstances.
Which without doubt,
were very real. And also, in addition to that, extremely bewildering. I had a vague sense of being transported to the purpose through the multitudinous sprawl of mega-dwellings and the gargantuan apparatuses of huge complexes that may have been factories, laboratories, research facilities, or scientific institutions. For a length of time that may have been hours, I passed into the contained expanses of the Carivern Roost. I entered into a state of total relaxation, to a point that I may have been sleeping during the course of my flotations, until I was suddenly aroused by a particularly perfect sense of silence, coupled with a sensation of having arrived somewhere. The brazen luminosities of the intraplanetary dimensions had become somewhat dimmer, more distant, and I discovered myself to have landed in a position, as it were, of terra firma. I had, it seems, been deposited on some kind of solid platform, and as I steadied myself, I began to see a range of objects looming out of the misty, wavering, dark luminescence before me. I could see that the objects were numerous, and indeed innumerable, as I moved towards them over the perfect flatness of the uniform surface upon which I walked. The objects began to take on a more definite shape as I approached them. They appeared to be unmoving silhouettes. The unmoving silhouettes of a vast range of strange figures, erected on pedestals arranged in countless rows for as far as my eyes could make out.
We've been listening this evening to recent releases on the Swedish label Cryochamber. We began with Mörken Hollow, a recording from Dead Melodies, and from that we heard All That's Left Behind, One Way Ticket, Forbidden, and The Call, amongst other pieces. And to round out the selection, music from Ruptured World and the album Xenoplanetary, The Cruel Darkness, The Telekinetic Amassment of Being, The Agony and The Days of Foreboding were the pieces there. You heard all of that on this 1548th broadcast of Ultima Thule, ambient and atmospheric music from across the ages and around the world with me, George Cruikshank. For more information about the show and to take a look at our playlists, go to our website at ultimathule.info. You can also listen to many of our shows back to the beginning of 2012 in high-quality streaming audio, anytime, anywhere. Just go to mixcloud.com/ultimathule. Andre Moon's here next week, and as usual, I'll return in a fortnight. To take us out, one more piece from Ruptured World. This is The Magnitude of Luminescence.
The ground itself had given way as I reached the bottommost extremities of the sunken valley. A crack in the land had opened up at the frontiers of the subterranean impasse. And yet, I continued to levitate, to be drafted into its unforeseeable depths like a piece of floating debris cast adrift from some exploded star system. Almost at the same moment, with only a few seconds of delay, a soft sheen of orange and blue bioluminescence intermingled with the thickening atmospheric coagulations of my descent. The underworld was aglow with the grandeur of its radiance, an intraplanetary effusion of multifarious colors coalescing as a collective quintessential throng in the vastness of the hollow sanctuaries of Centauri Proxima B. I began to detect moving forms in the particolored expanse as my eyes adjusted to a visual spectacle beyond my wildest imaginings. They were the anatomical masses of the Carivoran, poised and floating in a variety of shapes through the unending chasms of competing brilliance. They moved with a revolving posture that literally alternated with imminent transformations of their bodily attributes, with no individual distribution of anatomy, but showing also an ability to manipulate the textures and shades of their integuments,
like cuttlefish, adjusting to the stimulations of their chromatophoric pigment sacs. I began also to see great architectural structures suspended in defiance of gravity itself. The colossi of sophisticated buildings and great machines of an irregular disposition and weird design, stilled in the vastness as if glued to some impossible foundation that in visual terms was completely absent. I had entered a paradigm of impossible geometries that comprised the metropolis of an intelligent species with evidence of a highly advanced technological capability and a remarkable ingenuity that revealed itself on a prodigious scale.
And yes, he is.